This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Leckie and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
It is a Bears Monday here on ESPN 1000, and the coverage is brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwestern Indiana Acura Dealers. The Bears beat the Giants yesterday, 17-13. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Our number is 312-332-3776. All calls welcome, and we go to Simba in Hoffman Estates here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Simba?
Hey, what's up, boys? I just wanted to call in and ask y'all, what's your guys' realistic expectations on, you know, both the teams in the city for this postseason? I know, Chris, you being a Sox fan,
yeah,
and Abdallah being a Cubs fan, the Cubs are kind of, you know, on this last dance type postseason run or going to be. And, Chris, your team's basically playing with house money. So I just wanted to hear you guys' realistic expectations on this postseason for your teams.
Yeah, it's a good question. Thanks for the call, Simba. You know, when I look at this, Yeah, it is for the Chicago Cubs like it is a last dance, and they mentioned it before this season, and I asked the question during the baseball show, is this it for the core four? I think they can certainly get to the championship series. Now, the Braves are going to be tough, the Padres are good, and the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. But the Chicago Cubs are right there, and I think if you could get something from Rizzo, from Baez, I know Bryant left the game tonight with an injury, so who knows with him. But if you could get Baez and Rizzo cooking, and we know Rizzo goes through these spurts where he can be one of the hottest hitters in baseball for a month straight. If they could find that, they could get to the championship series, especially with the pitching of Darvish and Hendricks. And what we've seen from the bullpen recently, they've kind of stepped it up. And for the Chicago White Sox, we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. This team should get to the American League Championship Series.
Absolutely.
And I am not of the thought process of, well, they're young and they're coming together, so next year is the year. Gee golly, I can't wait for next year. No. If you've been good enough to this point, bring it and go for it and try and accomplish something right now, because the opportunity is in front of you. Take advantage of that opportunity. I'm not of the mindset of, it's just great to be here. Let's try and go for it next year. Baseball is a fleeting sport where you can plan all you want. And then when you get down the road after that one championship, next thing you know, people are talking about it being the last dance. Cubs, right? Like, that was only 3 years ago that they won the World Series.
Yeah. I think that, you
know, take advantage of the moment.
I think that with respect to the Cubs, I think that it's going to be tough to get out of the division series the way they're performing. You know, I think that right now in a three-game series at home in a wild card series, you can win that because you have Yu Darvish and Kyle Hendricks, right? Like, those two have been consistent. Kyle Hendricks fixed what was going wrong for a couple games, and now he's back on track after his last outing, right? Yu Darvish has had, he gave up like three bad pitches, and that's been the story of his games, right? The offense hasn't really been behind him. I think once you get to Lester, Quintana's going to start tomorrow, so who knows what you're going to get from him. And somewhat, I'm not as worried about the White Sox. However, I'm worried about the White Sox once they get to these series that are longer because of the pitching. You know, like, we all know that Giolito's going to be good. We all know Keuchel's going to be good. Dunning has had a subpar outing today. Okay, but Dylan Cease, can you rely on Dylan Cease to be your number four if you need to? You're going to have to, because there's no travel days. So they're playing 1-7.
Well, to answer that, he gave up four runs early tonight and then battled and kept the Sox in the game.
No. I agree with you. I trust Dunning more than Cease. I'm talking about Cease.
Okay,
I'm talking about Cease.
Yeah.
Like, he had a bad outing in his last outing, and he's been really lucky as of late.
You're right. But don't know what we're going to get from Cease.
So, I think, look, the White Sox, I agree with you. ALCS, for sure. Or bust. Absolutely. ALCS. And if they can go to the World Series, amazing. The Cubs, NLDS, and out.
I think they have the talent to do it, but the talent has to show up.
I think they can win a wild card series.
On paper, they have the talent. Now the paper talent needs to play.
Yeah.
Let's switch to this. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, talking Bears with you. So the Bears beat the Giants yesterday, 17-13. The Giants score 10 points in the fourth quarter. The Chicago Bears score no points in the second half. Mitchell Trubisky went 18 for 28, 190 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions, quarterback rating of 78. He faced off against Daniel Jones in his second year, the quarterback from Duke. He went 25 of 40 for 241 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, quarterback rating of 68.9. When I watched the game yesterday, the Bears won. I will deny nobody that outcome. That's exactly what took place.
Yay.
Facts are facts. But the thing that happens with football and basketball to some extent is you have to watch, right? Like the outcome is not only what you see on a box score.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the game yesterday, and they won. Factually, they won. But when the game was over, it didn't really feel like a win. To me, it felt like, wow, they are lucky once again in back-to-back weeks to start this NFL season to escape with a victory. Now, you can look at it a few ways. You could suggest that that is how good teams navigate a season, is they win games they should probably lose, and they beat bad teams because bad teams can't take advantage of mistakes that the opponent gives to them. You could also look at it and suggest that the Bears are lucky to win these games, and when they play better teams, there's a good chance they may not win said games. So after I watched the game yesterday and I thought about it, it's a strange thing to sit here on a Victory Monday here on ESPN 1000 and have this thought of doubt in the back of my head and in the pit of my stomach, because I don't think I really watched good football yesterday. I thought the first quarter was good. 10-0 at the end of the first quarter was exactly the game script that we saw in 2018 when the Bears were 12-4, one of the best teams in football. They got a score early. They had the lead. They let their defense tee off on the other teams who were trying to catch up. The only problem was, in the second half, where was that defense teeing off on a bad Giants offense?
Well,
and where was the quarterback in the offense with a lead, not extending said lead, allowing a bad team back into the game?
I don't put this on the defense because, yes, the Giants did score on an 11-play drive that went 95 yards and only took 4.5 minutes. And yes, they were able to score a field goal late and come within 4 points of tying the game up. But if I were to tell you that the Bears held a professional football team to 13 points, that's a win. That's a win.
Yeah, I don't put factually this, on the box score. I yes, don't put it this, says win.
But again, you're right. You have to watch. But I still don't put this on the defense. This is on the offense. This is 100% on the offense. You scored 17 points against one of the worst teams on defense in the NFL. They were like 28th or 29th in DVOA going into this game. And to me, and I talked about it earlier, the Bears feel like that Big Ten team that just beat Rutgers in Maryland, and they're like Iowa, and they're like, we're going to be good this year. This is going to be great. We just beat Rutgers, and we just beat Maryland, and we're going to go undefeated, and we're going to be you start giving us national championship college football playoff votes, because we're coming, we're Iowa, and we're 2-0. It's like, we haven't played Penn State yet. You haven't played Michigan State yet. You haven't played Ohio State yet. You haven't played Michigan yet. And when you do play with the big boys, guess what? You're going to lose. And to me, you've played two of the worst teams in the NFL right now. Maybe we were all wrong about the Lions. I don't know. But you've played two of the worst teams in the NFL that aren't the Jets. Okay? And because of that, yeah, congratulations. You're 2-0. But the schedule only gets harder, progressively harder. From now on, Atlanta's Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley have put up 400 yards the last 2 weeks. Like, that's insane. You're going to tell me that this defense is going to be able to stop them? You're telling me that this offense is going to be able to compete with that? No way. Absolutely not. And you're facing tougher defenses as the season progresses. You're facing better quarterbacks as the season progresses. And because of that, yeah, you're 2-0. But it doesn't feel good. Because of what's coming.
And the Bears offensively, right now, yards per play offensively, they're 25th in the NFL. The Giants are 27th. So, you know, the Giants don't have a good offense. And yeah, they scored 13 points. That's pathetic. The Bears only scored 17. That's no good either. And the Bears were 31st last year in yards per play offensively. And we talked about how this offense needed to improve to then help out the defense. You know, it's a different ball game if you win it 30-13. See what I'm saying? Like, good teams put away bad teams. And that's why when I look around the National Football League, I think you and I were right in thinking that the Cardinals were going to be good this year. Because not only did they beat a decent 49ers team in week one, mm-hmm. but they put it on a bad Washington football team yesterday.
And that's what good teams do.
That's what good teams do.
And we look, exactly. look at the Ravens and what they did to the Texans. Everybody's like, well, the Texans are going to be decent. They're not going to be great because they lost Hopkins. They're going to be decent. Well, look what the Ravens did too. Those are good teams. The Cardinals are a young team. They're not saying they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be better. And that's what you do. I'll take it back and compare it to the White Sox. We've talked about it all season and how you beat
cross sport comparisons.
Beat up on bad teams. That's when you know you're getting better. Is when you beat up on bad teams and you compete in games with good teams.
So let's ask this question. Here's the poll question I put on Twitter earlier today, at Chris Black, at Adam A. Abdallah, and at ESPN 1000. How do you feel about the Bears' 2-0 start? Here are the four options that I give you. Fantastic. Option number two is 2-0 is 2-0. You know, because people always say that. Like, a win's a win. 2-0 is 2-0. It's the National Football League. All that matters is a win. So is that where you're voting? 2-0 is 2-0. The third option, uneasy. You feel uneasy with the way the Bears have won these games and the way they've kind of gotten to this point. And the final option, the fourth option on the Twitter poll, lucky should be 0-2. That's what you can vote on. Fantastic. 2-0 is 2-0. Uneasy or lucky they should be 0-2. Where would you vote? 312-332-3776. Let's go to Alex and Wheeling. You're on ESPN 1000. Alex, how do you feel about this 2-0 start?
I feel uneasy. I voted for uneasy because I think last week, Abdallah, during Waddle and Sylvie, after you guys were breaking down the Lions game, you said the Bears can only beat two teams with that style of play, and that was the Lions, and then you foreshadowed it with the Giants. And in my opinion, I said uneasy. I think more so along the lines of they are two plays away from being 0-2. It's two plays that those teams don't make, but it's two plays that I think a majority of NFL teams will make and send them to 0-2. And I'm very shaky about the Atlanta game. I'm very shaky about the rest of the season, too. So I'll hang up and I'll let you guys talk a little bit, too.
Great. Thanks for the call, Alex. That was fantastic. You know, like, I fall in the category where I kind of see 2-0. And if this was someone other than the Bears, they'd be like, well, they're 2-0, though. You can't take away wins, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I feel super uneasy. So because I feel uneasy, that's where I go with this, is I am also voting uneasy because I get it. You're 2-0. It feels great to be 2-0 after 2 weeks in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
But look,
I feel uneasy because I can't say 2-0 is 2-0, and I can't say fantastic. I'm uneasy because, yeah, this team is 2-0, and people are dropping left and right around the NFL, and you've been lucky to avoid injuries so far. But you're 2-0 against a Lions team that did the same thing they did to you against the Packers yesterday, right? They had a lead, and they blew it. And Aaron Rodgers came back and was Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers put it on them and covered easily. And then you've got a team in the Giants that lost their best offensive player halfway through the first quarter, you know? And so, and yeah, he only had 6 yards the game before that. But he was running well before he was injured. And so, to me, this is a question of, is this offense progressing? They're running the ball a lot more. They're running one of the top running teams in the league right now as far as attempts, which is great. But other than that, I don't feel comfortable going into this Atlanta game if I'm a Bears fan. You know,
if I'm
the Bears, like, I'm like, no, well, how are we supposed to put up 17 points against the Giants? How are we supposed to do this and compete against Atlanta? If they get into a shootout, they're not going to win because you can't compete.
If the Bears are down 10 in the fourth quarter.
No.
Oh, wait. We saw that, though.
No, we saw it.
We saw that against the Lions.
But he
did it.
Okay.
Trubisky did it.
Yes, he did.
So take that. Okay. How do you feel about the Bears' 2-0 start? Fantastic. 2-0 is 2-0. Uneasy or lucky? They should be 0-2. Your phone call is next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Break. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Bears with you at 312-332-3776. Salim and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. Salim. What's up, Salim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Okay.
We're great. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I wanted to call in and talk about kind of the same stuff that you guys are talking about, but I wanted to ask you, when is it too soon to worry about next season and beyond? Because, like you said, obviously, I think at this point, Mitch is who he is. I mean, we're in year four. I don't care to say, oh, it's only been two games. He's been in this offense long enough now where I don't care for any excuses. Like, you brought up Kyler Murray. This guy, 1 year in his offense, he's coming out and he's dropping dimes and putting up big points on other opposing defenses. When you look at Mitch, what he did this on Sunday, it's underwhelming to me. And the whole overall, the offense is just very underwhelming to me. So I worry now if we go beyond into season and Mitch looks, again, just a middle-of-the-pack guy, I feel like Pace will still be in love with him and extend him to a big contract, which then will make the defense even worse again because we're going to have to lose parts on the defense. That defense that's already been getting worse since, 2018, when we were a very elite top three defense. Now we're probably a top 10-ish. And then eventually, like I said, when we lose guys like Trevathan and other little pieces that are making this defense good, we'll be a below-average defense, and then we'll kind of get stuck in that football hell type of situations when we're consistently winning six games, seven games, and not really in a position to have a high enough pick for a quarterback.
Salim, do you think Trubisky looks better this year?
I mean, I feel like he looks better than last year, but that's not a bar that I had held him to. To me, like, he looks like similar to what we saw in 2018, where he had good games, where we saw promising games from him. But there's still no kick to him as far as there's no kick to this offense. Like, we're sitting here again against a Giants team where we should drop 25 plus points for sure. There's no reason that we had to come down to a team against them where our defense needed to get the stop for us to win.
Thanks for the call, Salim. Abdallah, when you see the two interceptions, where do you fall in the conversation of Mitch's picks on Sunday? Because, you know, there's going to be Bears fans out there who make excuses each and every time the dude turns it over.
Well, I think
so. Where do you fall on this?
Because I think I sat and watched that Allen Robinson one with one G. Thomas Waddle like 20 times today.
That was
and
an
he
impressive
was going
interception.
Frame by frame of why it wasn't Allen Robinson's or Trubisky's fault. Oh, it's more Trubisky's fault than Allen Robinson's fault. And because the player that intercepted it, his name escapes me right now, made a hell of a play, and why it wasn't pass interference, and why it wasn't Allen Robinson's fault, and basically that it's just every top tier wide receiver will have that done to them once or twice in their career.
Okay. What about the other one?
The other one's more Mitch.
Okay, that's
the other
on
one's
Mitch.
More Mitch.
I'm not done here.
Well, I was going to answer this question.
What about rifling it into triple coverage and having it ricochet?
Dude, he does that so many times.
Bobby Massey catches it to advance the ball for a first down in a situation that would have been terrible for the Bears to then have to punt. What about that?
Luck. Is it that luck?
Luckiest quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Luck. And to answer Salim's question.
He is the luckiest quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Let me paint you a picture of the Bears' dystopian future, because it's not pretty. Because here's the thing. The defense is too good to be bad. Like, the defense is too good for the Bears to be bad. The defense, yes, they gave up late points yesterday, but you're look at what Quinn did on his first play coming in. Look at what Khalil Mack was capable of. Look at what Akeem Hicks was doing. You know, Jalen Johnson and Kyle Fuller are going to have a heck of a matchup this weekend going against Julio and Calvin Ridley. It's going to be a great matchup. Those two matchups are going to be great. But this defense is too good to be a team that only wins two games. So, Chris,
yeah.
I ask you,
yep.
Can I interest you in Sam Darnold?
For the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, because think about it. They're not going to bring back Trubisky because I think he's because in two games against the worst two defenses he's going to see all season.
Because this is how it's going to play out. Darnold will get a new coach.
The Jets are going to have the number one pick. You're not taking Trevor Lawrence. You're taking Trevor Lawrence and you're starting Trevor Lawrence and you're trading Sam Darnold.
There's a long football season here. And
I get it.
I wouldn't just assume the Jets are going to.
But it's
have
overreaction the, Monday, and the Jets are going to go over.
This is how it's going to play out. Gase is going to get fired midseason.
Okay, yeah,
they'll get a new coach.
Okay,
Darnold will get the chance with the new coach, just like Baker with Stefanski.
So if they have the number one pick, they're not going to take Trevor Lawrence?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying he's going to be there with a new head coach next season.
My point is this. You're going to be in the middle. You're going to be 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, right? Not good enough to get a top 10 pick, but not bad enough in the draft.
Looks like you're re-signing Trubisky.
Well, you're either re-signing Trubisky, you're hoping Dak doesn't re-sign in Dallas, and you're throwing a bunch of money at Dak, but I don't know how much money the Bears can afford to do that.
I don't know about that.
You're trading up again in the draft to get maybe a Trey Lance, or maybe you're waiting for a Sam Ellinger and hoping he's the future of the franchise. Because the problem is, Salim's right. Like, they're not going to be this 5-win team all the time. They're more going to be like a 7 or 8-win team all the time unless they get a quarterback or start running a system that curtails itself to mediocre quarterback play.
The Cubs lead 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth. This is the official word from the Chicago Cubs, with Chris Bryant leaving tonight's game with a right lower oblique tightness. So Bryant out with lower right oblique tightness, per the Cubs. Cubs lead in Pittsburgh 2-0 in the fifth.
How's your oblique?
Pretty good. Let's
stretch it out.
Let's go to Nick and Gurney. How do you feel about this 2-0 start for the Chicago Bears? What's up, Nick?
What's going on, guys? So I feel like uneasy, right? Because the last couple years we've heard Nagy, we need to establish an identity. But the only identity I can kind of point to is not being able to score more than 20 points. Because you look at everybody else in the NFL. I looked at all the scores yesterday. It seemed like everybody else was scoring 30 points, and we can't even score more than 20 against the lowly Giants.
Yeah, I'm with mm-hmm. you, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. I agree. When you look around the National Football League, you have to score more than 17 points. Isn't 17 points what we looked at last season and always suggested that that was not good enough?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they did. And go through the scores the weekend.
Nick's right. Look at it. Look at the scoreboard. I agree with you guys.
It's ridiculous that they...
The only people who are arguing that this is okay are the people who are only watching the Bears on local TV, and then they turn the television off when the Bears game ends.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to get to apple picking.
No, but if you're watching Red Zone and the national games, you see you have to score points in this league. Gabriel in Melrose Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, that's exactly right. As soon as that Bears game ends, it's off. Because you know what? It's been a rough year, and I don't want to see any of that stuff. Bears 2-0, it's better than the year 2-0. So, hey, it's a great thing. Go Bears.
All right, Gabe, thanks for the call, man. Wait, hold on, Gabe. Wait, what do you mean you don't want to see that other stuff? You don't want to see good football?
You don't want to see Patrick Mahomes? You don't want to see Lamar Jackson? You don't want to see Russell Wilson?
These guys got it in the bag this year. I'm telling you, they're focused. In the Midwest, we do things different. You guys know that. Heads down. We're not about the showboating. I think this is the time. You got to think about it.
What guys do it different?
Oh, man, you know, you got Trubisky. It's like he's looking more poised. You know, I know you guys, you kind of like see maybe he's not making the right decisions, but you know what? He's doing the right thing. 2-0 is better than having that conversation of 0-2, which we would be having if they weren't doing it.
Oh, there's no conversation.
I agree, Gabe. It's like 2-0 is better than stepping in wet concrete, right?
Look, if we were 0-2, it wouldn't even be a conversation. We'd be talking about Nick Foles starting against the Falcons.
2-0 is better than having a spaghetti sandwich, right? Right, Gabe?
That actually doesn't sound horrible. If you take this,
do it in Melrose.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Gabe, have you ever taken the garlic bread and then put a little like spaghetti sauce on it, and then like you know you get maybe you get like a loose noodle on it? It's not horrible.
No, not at all. Put my Parmesan on there.
Yeah,
Who knows better than the loose noodle?
That's right. You got it, boy.
Yeah. All right, Gabe. Thanks, man. Arnold in West Chicago. You're on ESPN 1000. Loose noodle.
Yeah, how you doing? I just want someone to explain to me that one of the best teams ever was the 85 Bears. Jim McMahon was not an elite quarterback, but they were the most dominant team. But everybody always talks about quarterbacks. What about all the other positions that supports it? If you ain't got that, you ain't going to have nothing.
Yeah, I'm with you, Arnold. Thanks for the call, my man. You got to have a full team. Look at the Chiefs last year, full team.
The city.
No, look at the Chiefs. They don't need a quarterback, bro.
The Ravens?
No.
Do we? It's not 1980. Listen,
Arnold. What do you think of the Chiefs last year?
What?
What do you think of Kansas City last year?
I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention. I was more into the Bears. I've always been into the Bears, and just
yeah.
It gets me that everybody always, it's either a great quarterback and a lousy quarterback. No one else matters. The other guys, the 85 Bears are the most rounded, best team ever. It's because all of the positions worked.
Arnold, did you watch Sunday Night Football last night?
No, I was working. I couldn't. I worked myself.
Understandable if you're working. I get it.
Yeah.
All right,
Arnold. Thanks for the call, my man.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's...
What year is it? What are we doing?
2020. Yeah, just... No, it's cool. Quarterbacks don't matter, man.
No, but like...
85 Bears.
I think Arnold broke me. This isn't... It's not 1985.
Let's get a palate cleanser. TJ and Woodridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, TJ?
Well, I'm with you guys on this, that this 8-8 is probably going to happen again, or something close to there. And what are we going to do? Do they keep Coach Nagy if they go 8-8 again, or is it an 8-8 and let's see how we do in the playoffs because they're taking another team this year? And then if they win a game, we're going to bring them back again. But if they lose, then it's just really frustrating watching this happen, because I loved your analogy of, like someone beating Illinois and Rutgers or something, and ended up 2-0 in the Big Ten. But you know, you still got some tough ones coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, TJ. Appreciate the phone call. And that's why we're having this conversation. The question is, how do you feel about the Bears 2-0 start? The options are out there on the Twitter poll at Chris Black. Fantastic. 2-0 is 2-0. Uneasy or lucky they should be 0-2. We'll take more of your phone calls on the Bears coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Loose noodle.
So broken.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Miguel in Oak Forest, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Miguel?
Hey, guys. I think the Bears are in great shape, man. This is the toughest defense Atlanta's going to face. Atlanta's offense or defense is horrible. If the Bears could run the ball and control the clock, that keeps, you know, that power offense off the field, could be looking at 3-0. I got the Bears winning this week.
Thanks for the call, Miguel. And, you know, Miguel brings up a really good point, Abdallah, because one thing I wanted to talk to you about tonight is the run game for the Chicago Bears. David Montgomery, 16 carries, 82 yards, an average of 5.1 yards per carry. That is excellent. That is fantastic. I need more of that. I mean, why only 16 carries? I see the 7 there for Cordarrelle Patterson for 25 yards. Trubisky ran the ball 4 times for 16. And Tariq Cohen... five rushes for 12 yards. Listen, do we have time tonight to even get into why is Tariq Cohen getting a contract extension? I do not understand this at all. He caught the ball once for 15 yards. And he had five rushes for 12 yards. What is the point of that?
I don't get it. I feel like Tariq Cohen's are players like Tariq Cohen in college now, those gadget players.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's one at every school
college,
at this point.
In the NFL.
No, but I'm saying like you can draft the next Tariq Cohen. You might be able to draft it.
What are you giving him a new contract for?
Here's what I look at.
That's terrible.
Give the
ball to Montgomery and move out of the way.
Difference. I look at the stats from the Bears game, Chris, and what the Bears did on offense, and I look at what the Browns did on offense against the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield was 16-23 for 219 yards, two touchdowns, and interception. They ran the ball 35 times. They gave Nick Chubb 22 carries and Kareem Hunt 10 carries, and Baker carried the ball three times himself. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see that recipe for the Bears. Trubisky needs to make throws when he's asked to, but ultimately, this needs to be a get up to the line, run the ball. Get up to the line, run the ball. And the recipe was working against the Giants. You were running the ball because look at the stats. Okay, so Baker Mayfield threw the ball 23 times. Mm-hmm. Trubisky threw the ball
28
times. They had 32. The Bears had 32 attempts. The Browns had 35 attempts. The recipe's there. You just need to be able to convert. The Bears need to score more. You have to convert.
Look at both games. Why were the Giants and the Bengals in those contests? Because Baker threw interceptions,
yep.
And Trubisky threw interceptions.
Yep.
Let's go to Mike in East Chicago. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say that, in my opinion, you know, us being so lenient on the quarterback, despite his shortcomings, is eerily reminiscent of Rex is our quarterback. Because Rex would have four turnover games, but the defense and the special teams would bail him out, and therefore Lovie would keep him at the position. It cost Lovie his legacy because he didn't win a Super Bowl, because I believe that Cal Orton would not have thrown the interception, and we would have beaten the Colts in the Super Bowl. So I'll hang up and listen to what you guys got to say.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it, man. And, you know, you go back to 06, and, like, Rex had some really good games, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really good games.
Yeah, but the
problem is, I get it. It was good Rex, bad Rex. But, like, there were some games where, I mean, the Bears put up 40, 37 mm-hmm. in a contest. Like,
yeah.
they were putting up points,
okay.
even though Rex had games that were infuriating.
Yeah, but did we ever?
Is Trubisky putting up points ever? When
no.
is he putting up points?
Against Washington, against Tampa.
The Bucks 2 years ago. Okay.
Hey, but congrats. Did you ever have to tell Lovie to run the ball?
No, they ran the ball getting off the bus. We knew how it worked here in Chicago.
Yeah,
come on.
I feel. See, here's the problem. Stop. Don't go to that caller. We're going to become the 85 guys.
What do you mean, 85
we're
guys?
Gonna,
what does
we,
that mean?
We are going to become the
what
guys.
What does
like,
that mean?
Guys, we need to just take it back to 2006 when you could just run it down the gut. Lovie was just, he got off the bus running. This guy, Nagy,
what do you mean we're
he doesn't do anything when he's running. He doesn't get on the bus running. He doesn't get off the bus running. He doesn't run in the chair. He doesn't do anything. Lovie, off the bus running. I'll hang up and listen for my answer.
So you're saying we're going to be the guys
yes.
that call into shows
yes.
suggesting that?
Yes. Well, no, we're not going to call into shows, but we're on the show. We don't need to call into shows.
I thought we were going to call to other people's shows
but
and
we're
be that
be,
guy.
But we're going to be the, you know, I wish
like, that... Like we could call other shows.
I wish that
Carmen
Coach
Yurko,
X, we could.
10 to noon. We could give him a call and say, hey, remember, run the ball.
Listen, back in my day, it was Lovie Smith.
Your day is now.
No, it wasn't. My day, it was getting off the bus running.
So, like, to update that, since people are riding around in the loop in those little stupid little scooters, we get off the scooter running.
We ghost rode the scooter into a wall, and we kept on running because those scooters, they're geo-tracked, and they only work in certain locations.
That's true. Have you
it
ever
was
gotten
very
to
frustrating.
A, have you been on one and then gotten to a street where it stops? And you just, oh, no, I got to turn
it's
around.
It's very frustrating.
John Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, guys? John here.
What's up,
big
man?
Big fans of the show.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, I was wondering what you guys think of Cole Kmet's contribution to the offense so far. Do you think the Bears and Nagy should be using him a little bit more? I know Graham.
Did he play?
Well,
one catch?
Yeah, no, he played. I think he got a catch, but I don't know. I feel like we could be using him a little bit more. We used such a high draft pick on him. I wanted to see what your thoughts were.
Yeah, John, you're right. One catch for 12 yards.
One catch for Jimmy Graham for 18 yards.
And Komet was shut out in the Lions game as well. So he has one catch for the season. I thought Komet was going to, he was going to be a vital part of this offense. Listen, you got the Montgomery part down. Hand the ball off to Montgomery. Run the football. 16 carries for 82 yards. I love that. Now working Komet. Can you get Komet over the field?
Look at the distribution of the targets.
It's unbelievable.
Robinson had 9 targets. Nobody else had over 3 targets.
He only caught 3 balls.
You can spread the ball around too much.
Listen. It's just the three of us. Tyler's here, just Black and Abdallah.
East Coast Media Elite.
Can we just the three of us here? Like, I get it. I love Allen Robinson. He is probably my favorite Chicago Bear right now. But if you're going to do the whole media deal about your contract and then show up with 3 catches for 33 yards.
Well, he can only catch the balls that are able to catch. Did that one where that first where he had to jump up and he almost jumped out of his shoes to catch? It's like, dude, what are you trying to kill the guy?
I'm just saying, if it was anyone else, if it was a player that people didn't really like, and you go out with that performance after what took place in the media last week about your contract, people in this city do not like stuff like that.
Well, they can deal with it. It's one game.
If it continues, it's 3 balls for 33 yards. That continues. I think we'll hear more chirping because of the quarterback.
Of course, it's one game.
I think it's going to be chirping because of the quarterback not getting him the football.
All I know, Chris, is that when it comes down to it, when the bus stops at the stop and you open the door, you get off the bus running.
Unbelievable. We'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Oh, man, we have a lot to get to. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Download the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Search for Black and Abdallah. The tile's right there. You can download all of our podcasts right from the ESPN Chicago app. Also, the Baseball Show podcast. Check that out right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing tonight's show. We'll be back tomorrow night. Black and Abdallah, 6 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. Do you want my Lakers thoughts tonight or tomorrow? The Lakers play tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, save so
them.
We can get in tomorrow night?
Yeah, save them.
I think it's pretty good. I watched a lot of basketball over the weekend.
I'm glad you think your thoughts are good.
I think here's the thing. I watched a lot of basketball, including this morning catching up on some of the games over the weekend, and it's pretty obvious to me that there's only one team that can win the title, and that's it. There are 3 teams partaking in the conference finals right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to win a title.
Okay.
And if they did, that's not like a championship team. Celtics, Heat, Nuggets, those aren't championship teams. I'm just saying. So we'll get to that tomorrow.
Any airport thoughts?
No, but the Kansas City airport is terrible.
Okay.
If you've ever been.
All right.
Do you want some thoughts on the NFL before we kind of wrap things up here?
Yeah.
Some other thoughts, not just Bears related, but some of the other 2-0 start, the 0-2 starts. Who do you think has the worst 0-2 start? Is it the Jets?
It's the Jets.
Texans? The Texans have been pretty bad. The Lions have looked horrendous, too.
Yeah.
Falcons, the Eagles. How about the Eagles? They're 0-2. That's supposed
crazy.
To be a playoff team.
That's crazy that they're 0-2.
Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, I think they're the real deal because this is why. You beat good teams and you crush bad teams. And we saw the Cardinals yesterday crush a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington football team, they never had a chance in that contest.
Nope.
And Kyler Murray was running all over the field.
Got that MVP ticket.
Guys, I think we nailed that one in the offseason.
Just sitting there.
I think we nailed that. Specifically.
And shout out to the dude.
Yeah.
We're talking about bad 0-2 teams. Shout out to the dude that said Matt Rhule's a bad coach.
To us
on Twitter yesterday. Okay. It's 2 games.
Shout out to that guy. 2 games. I'm willing to give Matt Rhule and Carolina some time to figure it out. Adam Gase and the Jets, I'm not. They had to get off to a decent start, and they didn't. Clearly, that's a train wreck. Clearly, I was wrong. I thought they would be improved. They're not. New York Jets. Specifically with the Texans, with Bill O'Brien, at what point does he get fired this year?
Soon.
Right?
Well, you can't trade away your best offensive weapon and expect to be successful.
No.
He's out there, but Deshaun Watson's out there by himself now.
A couple other thoughts I had. Impressive debut by Justin Herbert. He didn't know he was going to start. Minutes before the game, gets the call, and he looked good, even though the Chargers lost the game to the Chiefs.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. What is that?
Do you hear that, Tyler? Do you hear that in the background?
Yeah.
Do the people on Twitch hear that?
What is it? Someone, like, cleaning something?
Do you guys hear that on Twitch? I'm going to go find out what
it
is.
Go ahead. I'm going to continue on with my NFL thoughts. So Justin Herbert looked pretty good in the loss. I like Gardner Minshew. How about this? Gardner Minshew, Jacksonville lost, but Minshew put up 339 yards and 3 touchdowns, and I think he might be better than what people think. What did you find out?
So someone looks like they're taking a floor buffer.
Oh, like a carpet cleaner?
And cleaning the carpet, the floors. That's what it sounds getting like. Closer.
Yeah, it sounds like
you're going to see him right now. You're going to see him right now. He's coming behind the window.
Yeah, you can see right here.
Should we?
There he is.
Should...
All right, Tyler, I'll get the Bears read in. Hold on. We're trying to show the carpet cleaning.
Yeah.
Bears Mondays here on ESPN 1000 is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. And there's the carpet cleaning right behind it. You know, we're accused a lot talking about the Cubs. We're accused of talking a lot of Cubs baseball.
No, let's talk about our White Sox.
So we have our friend Brian O'Connor give us his White Sox report each and every week. Here it is.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Well, as we head into the home stretch of the season, final week, the White Sox are still in first place by 2 games. Would have been nice if the Cubs could have won a couple of games this weekend. You know, the one time we actually need them to win some games. Of course, you know, they can't beat the Twins because, you know, they're not the Pirates. So, oh, that's right. They're playing the Pirates this week. So don't worry. They're going to, you know, Cubs fans, they're going to get those wins right back. Not a problem. But, you know, anyway, final week of the season, just a few games left. I'm excited for the Sox. They're tooling up, ready for the playoffs. I'm not even worried about the Cubs series this weekend. Not even thinking about it. Just focused on getting through the Indians and then set up the rotation. You know, getting it all set up. I see the Cubs are also getting ready for the playoffs, putting Schwarber in the DH role. You know, interesting move to pull him in the mid-game, but you know, Rossi knows what he's doing. He hit that home run in Cleveland. We all know.
Got an email.
Bold strategy to take out the All-Star Hall of Fame Gold Glove left fielder, but you know, in Rossi we trust. And I don't know if you saw, but they took pictures in the scoreboard. What a wacky team. What a guy. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
Huh.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Pretty good, right? We'll talk to you tomorrow with Waddle and Sylvia, too.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.